CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, Ranjini. How are you?
I've had better days. Good. You know, it's you get kind of punch drunk attending sauna these days.
Well, you've written...
physically punch drunk, but I guess there are a couple members of parliament today with bruises and sore bodies. It was quite something.
Well, you've written a beautiful article in the Daily Maverick today called Sona 2017, Calamity Zuma and the 10th Circle of Hell. And you start off, I just want to reiterate this for people who think that this is just another article. Here is the opening sentence. Once again, the matter of least concern was what President Jacob Zuma said in his 5,589-word report card to the nation. And that is the massive tragedy of this annual shit show. You're not mincing your words, and the president's words were the least interesting part of the evening, because all the action took place before he started his speech.
Yes, because actually that is what you and I and every other taxpayer in this country is paying the president to do, is to tell us what his job is, what his government job is, and what they're going to be doing this year. The whole other Mardi Gras that went on, you know, for this entire week, is not, it should not be where the focus is. But unfortunately, that's what it becomes. So, you know, this non-speech that the president then delivers, 5,500 and whatever words, Garrett, where he, you know, he droned on as if, you know, nothing else had happened in the chamber, nothing else had happened in his presidency. And throughout it all, this massive promise of radical economic change, a new phase in the country, all of that is just another round of empty promises that don't make sense.
But also, he doesn't mean all this stuff. Sorry, Ranjini, he doesn't mean all this stuff about radical economic transformation or anything else. He's really just saying things to make us think that he's busy and he's implementing a plan. But I don't know how many people even watched after the EFF were thrown out and the DA walked out. I don't know whether anybody could have cared less to hear him droning on for another hour after that.
No, it was 90 minutes, and it was awful. It was really awful. As I say, it was completely disconnected from the reality of South Africa and the reality of what had happened for the entire day yesterday. Mostly, you know, the whole thing became about the deployment of soldiers around Cape Town and why the president took this decision, why it became necessary. And clearly, you saw it there when he was standing at the podium. He is now the head of a militarized state. He basically unleashed the powers he has as commander-in-chief of the South African National Defense Force as the next line of defense for his kind of tested presidency. So he doesn't make sense in terms of the actual nuts and bolts of economic policy or even of a political vision. There's none of that. It's just every time I go on this, it's because the ANC caucus cannot protect him anymore. All those horrendous insults that was directed at the president in parliament, he can't be protected. He knows nobody can protect him from that. So all he can do now is intimidate you and me, everyone else out there, to say, you don't like my speech, well, tough, suck it up. These soldiers are going to deal with you if you say so.
And he laughed quite a lot last night. He thought it was very funny when the EFF were manhandled out of parliament again. He thought it was very funny when the DA were chased out. He thought the whole thing was very amusing.
No, he did. He was in such a lovely mood. And, you know, he went from there, from parliament, to this big ANC party at the Grand Parade. He did his song and dance and had a wonderful time. It was really a lovely night for Jacob Zuma. You know, he has his power, is affirmed by the military. You know, people in the ANC clapped and danced. And he had a jolly old time watching the show around him in the National Assembly as people got assaulted. People there in the gallery above her pepper spray.
He was quite entertained. Who were all the people in the public gallery who got pepper sprayed? I heard that Patricia DeLille had to leave because she was unable to breathe and her eyes were being, you know, being burnt by
the
pepper spray.
Yeah, the mayor of Cape Town made a rather hasty exit. I actually thought it was because Zuma's speech was so terrible that she ran out like that. But turns out that that can of pepper spray was actually let off to the left of where she was sitting, so she had the worst of it. But in the same row that she was former President Mbeki, and I think Mbeki is the stage where he just doesn't even care. So he didn't want to even go out. His support staff were trying to tell him leave. His wife actually also had to run out, but he just kind of sat there and stared at Zuma, you know, with that deadpan look that says, "Oh my God, this guy is still going at it."
Well, you say in your article, again, I'm going to quote from it, but everybody should read the whole thing from beginning to end. You said, "In the gallery above, guests started running out of the house as an arid smell filled the air. What turned out to be a can of pepper spray was let off. Protocol officers tried to get former President Thabo Mbeki to exit the gallery to escape the stench. He declined. Many people have grown accustomed to Zuma's stink by now." Do you think the president, would you venture to guess what's going on in his head while all this chaos erupts around him? Surely at some base level he realizes that this is the circus over which he has presided. He is the ringmaster of this insane clown posse that is going mad around him.
Well, I don't think that's true. You know, I think any other normal human being would start to question themselves and their own role. In what is happening. This is three consecutive years at the State of the Nation address that this has happened now. But he always believes it's other people's fault. Other people are doing these things. You know, he's just there. He comes to speak. You know, he's expressed his frustration previously in Parliament that everybody's been really nasty to him and he doesn't like it. He doesn't know that he's the ringmaster Garrett. He believes that, you know, most people in this country appreciate and love him, and then there's other people who are delinquents, Buseni Ndlozi's word, and they're behaving badly. I think we're going to get to the end of this presidency, and President Jacob Zuma is still not going to have a clue as to what happened in this country and his role in it.
Do you think that he has a plan for the forthcoming year that doesn't just involve his own political survival?
His plan this year, I think, is to consolidate his power toward the end of his presidency. You must know that he had an unprecedented attack from within the ANC National Executive Committee. So he's going to try and seal that down. I think that the cabinet reshuffle will have to happen at some stage. I think he's going to try and get somebody elected in the ANC as ANC president who will protect him and will keep him in power to 2019, will also keep him cozy financially and legally. So I think that would be his major focus. Those 5,500 words he uttered today, he doesn't care, Garrett. He doesn't care about government's program of action. So I think people who are hopeful that we're starting a new phase now in our country, that's just nonsense, utter nonsense. And I think the chaos that we saw and we're all kind of growing fatigued by is here to continue till 2019.
Here's a question for you from someone on WhatsApp this morning. Question for Ranjeni. Should the approach from the DA and the EFF have been to leave Parliament or to be removed? It's 3 years in a row now where Zuma has not been accountable. That's from Trish.
Well, the thing is that there is a debate on the State of the Nation address next week. So in the course of the SONA proceedings last night, they're actually not supposed to question him on anything. He's supposed to just come there, deliver the speech. Everybody's supposed to clap and go away. And then next week, they return on Tuesday, and that's when the debate on the SONA is held. So, you know, the opposition's role is to make everyone understand how bad this presidency is. And I think that's what they did. They did make it known. Both the EFF and the DA have different strategies in the way to do that. And I think they came and they did their thing. And everybody understands what their agenda was. So next week, we'll hear the nuts and bolts of the speech and about, the general problems in the presidency. So, it's not for me to say who was right and who should have done what, but basically I think everybody came to do what they were supposed to do and it was done yesterday.
There are more questions about all of this, but we didn't actually get to hear the whole thing because I was watching on TV. There were moments where the sound cut out. Probably the three major speeches from the opposition in terms of points of order or privilege were probably Julius saying that the president is rotten to the core. The second one that Mbuyiseni Ndlozi called him a constitutional delinquent. And the third one that John Steenhuisen said he had broken the country. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think those are the quotes that basically summed up the sentiments of the opposition. There was a lot of colorful things said by many people, and I think that there is major consensus in the opposition benches now that, the president is, he's just presiding over an empty presidency now. He broke the country. There's no place else to go. And basically, we're stuck with this. So, it was bad. It's not the kind of thing that you want to hear at the opening of parliament about the democratically elected president of the country, but that's how it is. That's how they saw it. That's how many see it, and I think that's what we'll keep on hearing.
The response to John Steenhuisen that led eventually to the DA walking out from the ANC side, who was it who screamed F you? Was it Mahumapelo?
It's so noisy and there's lots of people screaming, lots of things. I'm not sure. I've seen things on Twitter saying that it was Jackson and Tembo. I really don't know who it was, but Garrett, the ANC benches are just amazing to watch because you have people like Fatabile Dlamini, acting as if she was really in the Jackson one. She'd be screaming things across the house, and lots of people were doing that. But during Zuma's speech, it's another picture because people fall asleep, as they usually do. There was very muted clapping. They don't know what the hell he's saying either. So the only time they actually come to life is when they have to fight the opposition.
Wow. What a show. What a show. What an article. You must go and read Ranjeni Mwinsami in today's Daily Maverick. You can read all about it. The Calamity Zuma and 10th Circle of Hell. You think he's going to make another two of these sonas?
Well, I think that's up to the ANC. I think that the opposition has tried various means to get rid of him through parliamentary processes. They can't. The rebellion now is coming from within the ANC. So that's the only thing that can remove him and save us from two more years of this nonsense.
You don't think that the ANC are emboldened and solidified by this kind of thing in parliament, that it makes them feel they have to stand up for each other and for the president. In some way, they rally behind him when this kind of thing happens. You don't think this is a statement of strength?
Again, for some people, yes. I think that they feel, okay, we're back in the driver's seat. We've got soldiers on our side. Everyone knows we're powerful. We can do this. I think there are lots of other people who are embarrassed, who hate what's happening to the country. The defense minister last night told us outside that she was sad and embarrassed. So that's quite strong words. Coming from the person who actually commands those soldiers who are protecting the president. So I think, on a personal level, a lot of people know that this is wrong. I think on a political level, people have to close ranks around the president. But I think internally in the ANC, there's a whole other process going on.
All right, Ranjeni, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. You must be exhausted yourself. You didn't get pepper sprayed, did you?
I was choking as the president was choking, so everyone in the house could feel, you could taste it on your tongue. But we plow on. It's a new normal. People say, during the State of the Nation, that you just plow through it, do your work, and that's South Africa in 2017.
What kind of a seat did you have? Where were you?
In the media gallery, just above the president.
All right.
So I could just see him turning those pages endlessly, and I really think that next year I want to find a way to make my own points of order, that they really ought to be serving drinks in the media gallery now.
Thanks, Ranjini. Good luck with that. Ranjini Munsami, the Daily Maverick, and her article in there today you need to go and take a look at. Oh, that's just to make sense of the Sona. If there is any sense to be made out of the Sona.
She raised a really good point. There should be, like, you know, in cricket, you get the DRS system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get three reviews and you lose them. There should be a public point of order, a media point of order, and then each party gets 2 point of orders. And you can have, like, a scoreboard around it.
And if you waste your point of order, tough, you're out.
You don't get a new one.
Huh. All right, that's pretty good. Ben's got a game strategy here. Might just be the best one. Okay, let's get going, everybody. Let's get our morning off to a start. A good start. It's Friday. Got things to do, people to see, places to go. If you want to WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. Don't forget, we've got that premiere happening soon. You know all about that. We've already given away a bunch of tickets, but you never know. We may be able to make more available. It's a great new movie called The Cure for Wellness, especially for those people who like to be afraid. From the director Gore Verbinski, who brought you The Ring. It's a psychological thriller you don't want to miss. A Cure for Wellness. It launches in theaters across South Africa from Friday, the 17th of February. I'm not sure if we have any tickets for our pre-screening left. I will check and let you know, but either way, you want to get to that that opening on Friday. It is on Friday the 17th. It's next
Thursday,
week.
Thursday, is it?
It says here Friday. Hmm. Friday, 17th Feb. Why, is that a Thursday?
I thought it was on Thursday.
Well, today's Friday the 10th of Feb.
So it must be Friday the 17th.
So plus 7.
All right, yeah, Friday 17th. All right, that's all you need to know for now. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of amazing people who are in here today. There's a guy called Ulrico Gretsch-Kumbo. He's in deep VR. You know virtual reality?
I just know deep Vs.
Yeah, you know deep Vs. Like, of course you do. Africa's most experiential cinematic virtual reality. That's what we're talking about. And everybody in Silicon Valley is obsessed with this virtual reality. If you ever tried one of these headsets on, it's amazing. You could go on a roller coaster ride without actually having to go on a roller coaster ride. And your body, because it's your eyes and your ears, you feel like you're actually on the thing. That shows you the power of your senses.
I read an interesting article the other day about how where the line will now be drawn regarding watching porn and using visual VR and cheating.
Well,
because isn't it now sort of kind of leaning towards being the same thing?
The most money they're going to spend in research and development is going to be in that kind of virtual reality.
Of course.
It's not going to be in sleigh rides and bungee jumps and stuff.
And I'm thinking of all those young, little, excited interns who will now want to test it out themselves. They'll totally want to volunteer to test and see how that goes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get off to a good start this morning. Yeah, we've got things to do, people to see, places to go, as I said earlier. And we do want to cover some of the other stories in the news. Ben, did you want to throw anything else about sporting? Are you doing anything sporty this weekend in terms of going to watch anything?
Well, my parents are here for their sort of annual holiday this year. We're all doing all right. So we're going to be north of Pretoria.
Ooh. Are you all going away?
Just my two brothers and I and my parents. So it'll be five of us. So we'll be watching sport and
that sounds awesome.
Talking about things.
You guys do this every year as a thing?
Yeah, well, they come up from Riebeek West. And it's like towards sometime in February. So they go somewhere
sounds
up country
good.
To look at animals.
Oh, right, like the game reserves.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit different. But yeah, that's what I'm doing this weekend. But definitely watching cricket when I get a chance to.
You definitely do not look or sound excited.
No, I'm not feeling well. Like I hate being ill because it doesn't happen often, but it's happened twice now in the last 3-4 months, which is really bizarre for me.
All right.
So I'm just keen to get away.
Well, that's Ben's plan. What are you doing, Sia?
This weekend, I actually just want to chill. You know, surprisingly, I was out for 4 days out of the 5 days of the working week.
Well, now that you're 22.
Look at me in demand, exactly. So I literally just want to sit at home and do nothing, but I have a boozy breakfast on Saturday because I'm still sort of in a birthday spirit. And I think I actually want to watch Hidden Figures this weekend. So
Hidden Fences.
No, no, that's not what said us. Yeah, what's Hidden Figures?
Exactly. Hidden Figures. It's, you know, it's getting a lot of buzz. It's a great story behind it. So really, do you think?
He stands outside of a buddy's sex basement and watches Hidden Figures in there.
Ew. Oh, come on. Anyway.
All right, a couple of messages quickly before we wrap this up. Hi, guys. Just wanted to tell you that your show rocks. I've been listening to you right from the beginning. I listen religiously every day. You're brilliant, insightful, and funny as hell. There's nothing out there that even comes close to what you're doing. My wife says that if she needs to tell me to do something, she'll have to call into your show so I can hear her. I download every show and listen most of the day. Thank you from Neil. Isn't that nice? Let's give Neil a round of applause for being a stalwart of our struggle.
Ben, do you have any relationship advice for Neil?
No, he's
on the right track.
He's beating his own path with that one.
Nino says, I'm a South African Cypriot, and the Turkish occupied north of the island for 42 years. Oh, yeah, we were talking to a guy yesterday, Abed, from Turkey. Well, he's from South African.
What a great interview that was.
Yeah, he was fun to talk to, and Turkey sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, it's got its problems like anywhere else, but I would love to go.
Are you genuinely considering it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mary says, Misha Barton in that clip sounds so possessed. Call an exorcist. Anushka says, I hate you guys. I'm recovering from a gallstone operation, and you play this collapsing governor. I can't stop laughing. I'm in pain, and I'm going to go to hell for this, but I can't stop laughing.
Anushka, yesterday you wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
So we're just doing what you asked for.
She also says, shame, man. Poor Misha Barton. Your mother is a witch. Parents that get their kids into the limelight must plan for their futures. These kids have something, now they have nothing. The money's great, but think about their futures as a parent. It's your job to be the voice of reason and guide them through this thing called life. I don't know. Maybe Misha Barton's parents tried with her. Not every kid has a landing.
Is this?
It's not always the parents' fault. Sometimes the parents try and the kid's just a disaster. Ben, when you go into the wild with your parents and they look at animals, are they actually looking at you returning to your childhood habitat?
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
That's from Carla. I love it. And Gabriella says, you would think Trump being so active on Twitter would increase the number of Twitter users and therefore impact positively on their share price. If you want to get hold of us, WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Let's get your day going, shall we? CliffCentral.com.